and good morning or good afternoon, everybody, depending on where you are. And thanks for taking the time to dial into this call. We thought, given events over the last 10 days or so, it's worth having a formal update of with everybody. And with me, I've got Brad Gordon, our CEO, and Andrew Ray, our CFO, so we can make sure that everyone hears the same message. We plan just to run through the key messages from the release this morning, and then we'll open up to Q&A after that. So with that, I will hand over to Brad.
Thank you, Giles, and good afternoon, everyone. We thought it was an opportune time to put out a release to update the market on the events in Tanzania. The Chairman, Kelvin Dushnisky, and I have been in country in Dar es Salaam this week, and I returned to London yesterday. The background to this whole affair is that on the 3rd of March, there was a ban placed on the export of our gold copper concentrate. Following that, the President set up two committees to investigate this in mid-March. The first committee was a technical committee, which looked purely at the contents of the containers of concentrate at the port. The report of that committee delivered results which we can't reconcile, and we released a statement with our comments on that report last Friday. Subsequently, we have requested a copy of that report, and we have requested an independent review of that report. The second committee started work later, and its terms of reference was to look at the economic and legal aspects of concentrate export going back to the beginning of the mines. We believe the second committee is now close to finalising their report, and over the last couple of weeks we've been hosting them at Bulyanhulu and Buzwagi, and we have provided them with extensive information to assist in their inquiries. We continue to cooperate fully with them. We expect that the second committee will deliver its report within the next 1 to 2 weeks. Following that, we expect to have the opportunity to discuss what the findings of that report and the first report directly with the government. We remain hopeful that we'll be able to agree a resolution to the current export ban with the government, but we also can continue to consider all of our options. As far as the operations are concerned, they are operating as normal. We're continuing to produce and sell gold doré, gold bars, while we stockpile the gold copper concentrate. We now have 1,100 containers of gold copper concentrate at the port and at our two mines, Bulyanhulu and Buzwagi. We have seen some impact on productivity levels, but at this stage our plans suggest that we will not be changing our full year guidance. We currently have 85,000 ounces of gold, 4 million pounds of copper, and 50,000 ounces of silver within the unsold concentrate. The balance sheet, during the quarter, we paid a final dividend of $34 million, and as we have previously flagged, we refunded $22 million of advance payments to a trading house for concentrate which has been held up at the Dar es Salaam port. So due to this, together with the deferral of sales and other direct and indirect tax outflows, the cash balance at the end of May was approximately $165 million. On top of this, we have a further 15,000 ounces of doré unsold due to timing at the end of May. In the absence of the resumption of the sale of the concentrates, the combined operating cash outflow going forward with respect to Bulyanhulu and Buzwagi is around about $15 million per month. North Mara, importantly, remains unaffected. In conclusion, obviously the ban is still having a significant impact on our business. We continue to be hopeful that we will be able to agree a resolution, and we expect to be able to engage at senior levels of government post the second committee report within the next 1 to 2 weeks. Happy to take questions. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad now. And if you change your mind and wish to withdraw your question, please press star followed by two. We have a question from Luke Nelson of JP Morgan. Luke, your line is now open.
Hi, guys. Just be interested to hear your view on what you need to see from the government in order for you to be satisfied with a resumption with operations at Bully and Buzwagi going forward, and maybe also sort of a time frame for that. Just trying to get an idea of the time frame for you to make more of a definitive decision on that. And then also, second question, just CapEx. Previously guided to $220 million for the full year. Can you just give an indication of how you're tracking towards that and whether we should be thinking maybe you'd be underspending this year on that given the concentrate ban? Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Luke. The operations continue business as usual, except that we haven't been able to sell our concentrate, obviously. We are going to continue to operate as we are for some time while we see a resolution to this. Obviously, with the effect on the balance sheet, you know, we've gone from a level of around $320 million on our balance sheet down to today's, or the end of May's, $165. We can't continue forever. So, you know, we have clear scenarios planned on what would happen if this ban continued for a length of time, but I'm not prepared to put a date on that while we see that there is a potential resolution to this in the next few weeks. As far as the capex is concerned, Andrew will be able to answer that.
Yeah, hi Luke. On capex year to date, we probably have the total 220 spent around about a third by the end of May. Little bit more under on sustaining than we are on capitalized strip and development. The outcome of that going forward is really going to depend on the coming weeks in terms of whether we continue to operate for the full year as we are or whether any changes to that. But clearly anything non-essential, we're pushing back. So the sustaining capital element, as I said, is lower than the others. That's probably running, you know, at about 25% of what we expected for the full year. Tends to run a little bit behind at the start of the year, but we're holding back on a few things there. So that would be revised, but in conjunction with any revision of the operating plans for the business as a whole.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question today comes from Richard Hatch of RBC. Richard, please go ahead.
Thanks. Morning, team. Thanks very much for the call. Just a couple of questions. Firstly, Brad, note you were out in Tanzania with your chairman. Can you just perhaps just give a bit of a steer on what kind of support you're getting from Barrick here? And then secondly, you previously talked to a burn rate of about $1 million a day. Now you're talking $15 million a month. Can you just talk about what you've cut back? Is it mainly your sustaining capex? What other kind of savings are you making just to minimise that cash burn, please? Thank you.
Yeah, good afternoon, Richard. Yeah, look, Colvin and I travelled to Dar es Salaam during the week. We are getting support from Barrick through this situation. On the ground, this is the first time that Kelvin has been with me for senior level meetings in country. Other than that, we've been driving it ourselves, but Barrick are ready and willing to assist in any way they can. As far as the $1 million a day, we are losing $1 million a day in revenue. The $15 million per month is the impact on our balance sheet. I don't know whether Andrew wants to add anything to that.
Yeah, so that's the, as we said, that's the operating cash outflow combined for Bullion Buzwagi. So there's a $25 to $30 million revenue impact from the concentrate, but clearly there's still doré sales going through at those two. Notwithstanding that, you know, non-essential spend has been put on hold. Incrementally, headcount numbers are gradually being reduced. Any non-essential capital is being put on hold. So there are a range of areas. We're seeing our operating expense starting to come down, which is encouraging, and we'd hope a lot of that will be sustainable as well. So, you know, we're clearly focused on spend at the moment, but there is a difference between the two numbers, so hopefully that's clear.
Yeah, sorry about that. Thanks for the clarification. One follow-up. Given the changes of some of the kind of mid to senior level government figures as part of this, I mean, can you just give a bit of a steer on how challenging it is to operate with kind of the goal, well, the people you're dealing with moving, or are you finding it to be the new members in new positions are still being kind of helpful or as you'd expect?
Look, we are able to engage with senior members of government. You know, I won't speak to exactly who we met and when in country. I guess the other positive thing in the last few days has been the public statements made by senior government people, particularly the Prime Minister yesterday, who said that the government wanted to engage with us after the second committee results came out. So that, you know, there's been some concern within the country on the damage to its reputation in terms of international investment. There's a recognition of that, and they're moving to ensure that they protect their longer term reputation.
Thank you very much.
Our next question today comes from Daniel Major of UBS. Daniel, your line is now open.
Hi, chaps. A few questions. Firstly, can you give us an estimate on the cost of putting Bully on care and maintenance and the ongoing care and maintenance cost once the mine was, if the mine was put on care and maintenance? That's the first question.
Yeah, good afternoon, Dan. It'll cost, for Bully and Hulu, it'll cost about $30 million to put it under care and maintenance in with respect to retrenchments and breaking of contracts. And then the ongoing cost would be $2 to $3 million per month in care and maintenance charges.
Okay, thanks. And then you mentioned about the $15 million of cash outflow from the affected assets, but at a group level, I assume that North Mara is still generating positive free cash flow. So can you give us that equivalent number for the company as a whole, you know, broadly speaking, at current kind of gold prices, et cetera, providing you don't have any additional sort of one-offs?
Yeah. Dan, hi, it's Andrew. Just the just rounding off the care and maintenance, the other area that we're still doing some work on is obviously you'd be running down accounts payable, so there's a cost to doing that when you put something on care and maintenance, given it's not an ongoing operation. So there's an element you offset there as well in terms of can you get some of those goods and supplies to the other mine sites and use them there. So, you know, we're working through that one, but there will be some cost in that as well that hopefully we can optimize. In terms of the three mines at the operating level, it obviously varies, but very broadly, that's going to equate into a 5 million-10 million a month cash burn if you take North Mara into account. We'd expect North Mara to be generating anywhere up to $10 million a month if you look at what it did last year and over the front part of this year so far. Within that then, you've got some additional corporate and exploration costs on top of that, which are not significant. You've got the risk of continued non-payment of VAT, which is more significant in $7 million-$8 million a month. If you're trying to work out what the cash burn at just a sustaining level is, then that's the sort of area you should look at.
Okay. Andrew, can you just repeat that last bit in terms of you've obviously got the positive from North Mara, the 15 negative from the two impacted assets, and what was the sum of the additionals?
You've got around about $10 million, let's call it, in between VAT and sort of other exploration and any other corporate costs not included in that number already.
Okay, perfect. Last question on tax and VAT receivable, et cetera. You're under the memorandum of understanding, I think you booked $8.7 million in the first quarter of corporate tax at North Mara that was offset against or repaid as from or deducted from your VAT balance. Is that no longer occurring? Are they honoring the memorandum of sort of settlement on that side of the VAT receivable equation?
They are, but it is on the basis of VAT, which has been approved for refund. Not all of that VAT has been approved for refund. If you look in very broad terms at the moment, for the offset with respect to any North Mara tax payable, we've still got about $25 million of historic amounts that we're able to offset in our current receivable for VAT. Then in longer term, there's a small amount, which is about $7 million. Those are funds which have already been approved and would be sufficient to offset on the current estimate any North Mara tax for the balance of the year. The other portion, which is the much bigger portion, is about $135 million of unpaid VAT. Given that we had a balance at the middle of last year, and effectively since the middle of last year, we've received no refund. As I said earlier, that grows at the rate of $7 million-$8 million a month. We've seen $70 million-$80 million incremental on a balance that was sitting around $60 million, $65 million at that time. Those funds are currently largely still being re-audited by the second team of auditors from the Ministry of Finance before they're then approved for refund.
Okay. In terms of actual cash flows, you will receive some, not all of what you accrue in VAT will be a net cash outflow because you still get some back that's already been approved as you did in Q1. Is that the correct assessment?
The actual cash, if you're just looking at it in pure cash terms, then at the moment we're receiving zero refunds, and that is on a monthly basis, $7 million-$8 million of real cash outflow. In terms of the offset element, we would have approximately another $26 million-$27 million of tax payable this year against North Mara that we will not have to pay in cash because we're able to offset it against the elements of VAT which have been approved. The cash out is a real cash out from VAT every month, but the tax charge for North Mara will not be a further tax out. Cash out, rather.
Yeah. Okay. So the real cash flow impact is just a $7 to $8 million a month, but your VAT balance will come down as you effectively pay corporate tax at North Mara that's offset, but from an actual cash and net debt position, it's just a $7 to $8 million per month.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, cool. And just one last question. You've got $165 million of cash. Is that $80 million of net cash?
Yeah.
So net cash has come down from 196 to 80.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks.
Our next question today comes from James Bell of Bank of America Merrill Lynch. James, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the call. I just wanted to talk about the mines or ask a question on the Mining and Energy Ministry. There was obviously press reports around the time of the presidential speech that the mines minister had been fired. I just wondered if you could give us an update on what's going on there and if the ministry is supportive of your case.
The mining minister was dismissed, and that post is now vacant. There is still a permanent secretary and a commissioner of minerals that we deal with in terms of the senior bureaucracy. They have not come out publicly in favour of us or against us in any way.
Okay, thanks. And then am I correct to understand that you're not able to interact or have discussions with the presidential office until the second report has been released? Is that correct?
Yeah, the presidential office are not prepared to talk to us between now and the second committee's report being handed down.
Okay, thanks. And then just finally, from your discussions with the sort of high-level people in government, do you feel like there's any other grievance against Acacia ex the concentrate export ban?
Look, ultimately we don't know. There's been no clear message, but the president has been saying for some time that he's keen that, you know, Tanzania gets a fair return on its assets, and the mining industry is a significant part of that. He obviously feels strongly about smelting in country, which we're happy to talk to him about. And clearly, you know, as a developing country, tax take is important for them. Ironically, some of the things he wants are in fact aligned with us, you know, such as an advancing economic development in the country. So, you know, just how that is achieved seems to be where we differ.
Okay, thanks very much.
We have a question from Jonathan Guy of Numis. Jonathan, please go ahead.
Yeah, hi guys. I guess a couple of questions. I mean, firstly, the first committee report appears to be something of a sort of put-up job. Do you feel that in your dealings with the government since that the second committee report is going to be any different, or could you end up being blindsided again with a sort of another hit on the share price? And secondly, just pushing a little bit on, in terms of putting bullion on care and maintenance, what would be the trigger for that? A feeling that you'd reach an impasse with the government, or is there an absolute level of net cash that you would not seek to go beneath? I mean, is your sense? I mean, at the moment, most of the pain has been felt by your shareholders rather than Tanzanians. If you put the mine on care and maintenance, clearly that shares the pain around a bit. When would you pull the trigger on that, and what would be the trigger for you doing so? Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks, Jonathan.
The first committee report, we don't know how they got their results, and you know, we still haven't seen a copy of the report.
We've requested it, and we've asked for an independent review of it. The release on Friday firmly refutes a number of the items in that report quite clearly. But you know, we're still committed to reaching a resolution with the government. As far as the second committee, we don't know what it's going to say, but you know, it's looking into the exports over the past 15 years. What we would expect the second committee report to say is an extrapolation of the findings of the first committee. And we, as I've said, we dispute the findings of the first committee, and it's very easy to dispute those findings. As far as bully care and maintenance, the answer is yes to both of your scenarios. If we get to a point following the release of the second report where we see an impasse in dialogue with the government, then we would put bully on care and maintenance. Likewise, if there was a level of cash which we reached, that would be another trigger to put bully under care and maintenance. And as you say, up until now, the pain has all been felt by Acacia's shareholders. Those options and other options where that pain is shared remain open to us, but at the moment, we still see that a resolution is possible without invoking any of those options.
And do you have a sense of what the cash level would be that you would pull the trigger on that?
Not prepared to say.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question today comes from Daniel Gilbert, an investor. Daniel, please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I wanted to ask about the in-country smelting, which was briefly touched upon. I've seen a report dated 2011 from the Tanzania Minerals Audit Agency, which came out against such a smelter, but I think they were looking at a larger smelter, which would require more input, including from outside the country. In your discussion, you were more positive about that possibility, and I wanted to ask whether, in terms of any amicable solution to this, a smaller smelter might be part of the solution. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Daniel. Look, we are we agree with the 2011 report that was compiled by the Tanzanian Minerals Audit Agency, that on technology of that time, smelting was not viable. That report implied that you would need 150 to 200,000 tons of concentrate per annum to make a smelter viable. You know, we produce 50 to 60,000 tons a year going forward, and at the end of this year, with Buzwagi not producing concentrate anymore, you know, that reduces to around 25 to 30,000 tons of concentrate a year just from Bulyanhulu for some time, for the life of the mine. Look, there may be new technology that suggests that there is a smelter capable of treating that amount of concentrate, and maybe some concentrate from other countries, but we're not aware of it. But we're prepared to work with the government to ascertain whether smelting is viable in country with current technology, and we've said that to them.
Thank you.
We have a follow-up question from Richard Hatch of RBC. Richard, please go ahead.
Thank you. Sorry, just one more. I was just following up on Dan's questions about your cash outflows. So am I right, Andrew, of a ballpark number of about $20 million a month of cash outflows if you account for the fact that you're not getting your VAT refunded and you've got your corporate and exploration costs and the obviously the net kind of cash outflow from the three mines offset to an extent by Mara's cash inflow?
Richard, it'll be a little bit less than that. Probably more like 15 would be the number to use. And then obviously it does vary depending on level of doré, where we are in each of those mines. So clearly Buzwagi is going to be in an increasingly better position as we go through the year because it moves less material, gets higher grade, and so its cost base is coming down. But, you know, if you want to be looking over the next few months, then that's probably the order of magnitude. sort of 15, but declining.
Right, thanks, Andrew. And then just one more was, can you just provide, do you have any update on the 30% float and whether you think that this kind of activity is perhaps pressuring you to do that, or you could potentially concede there to kind of alleviate the pressures you're having with your export ban?
We've engaged with the mining ministry on that, which is the channel to go through at this point in time. So I met with them, I think it was 2 weeks ago, just to run through some of the practicalities, what it implied, and some alternatives that might achieve some of their objectives, but without trying to create liquidity in a market where it doesn't exist. And I don't know if anyone's followed the first of those listings, local listings in Dar in the telecom sector, which is the Vodacom business, which is a Vodafone subsidiary. They're trying to raise just in excess of 200 million, and they've kept the books open and extended the subscription period multiple times, which I'm sure everybody on the call will know generally what that means in terms of demand and also what it means in terms of aftermarket. So that demonstrated the size of the task, and they are trying to raise 25% in the local market. So, you know, I think there's still a lot of work to be done in that sector and in the mining sector to try to come up with some structures that might achieve some of the objectives of greater ownership from Tanzanians, but it isn't easy to see how they can do that on the structure as it's currently configured.
Thank you, Andrew.
Our next question today is from Jatinder Goel of Citigroup. Jatinder, please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Two questions, please. First on inventory unwind timeline, if you get an approval to export concentrate, how long will it take for the on-site inventory within those 1,100 containers? And secondly, if you were to put bullion care and maintenance, would you still continue processing from the tailings? And if so, how much volume would you indicate? Thank you.
Shall I maybe answer the first, Jatinder, in terms of the inventory unwind? I'll give you an approximate answer because the answer is totally dependent on the point at which the ban is lifted and then the level of capacity in the relevant smelters and the ability to get birds on ships. But today, it would probably be in the order of 9 months to try to clear that backlog at the same time as you're continuing to sell your ongoing concentrate production. So, you know, broadly a couple of months or so into 2018 at this point in time.
Yeah, I'll answer the second question. If Bully was on care and maintenance, that would include the tailings retreatment operation. We can't run one without the other, but the tailing, just for information, the tailings produces about 30,000 ounces a year.
Great, thank you.
Our next question today comes from Ian Russell of Barclays. Ian, please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Just on the sort of interactions with the government, I mean, you said you haven't been able to get an audience with the president's office, but, I mean, does it usually take this long? Or, I mean, it doesn't seem like there's a sense of urgency from the government to engage with in discussions with you. And then just on the timing of the second report, you said in the next couple of weeks, would you expect then to try to get a sort of an independent report or expert opinion on the first committee's findings, just I guess so that you can have that while discussing with the government, and how long do you think that would take?
Yeah, I said that we won't be engaging with the president between now and the release of the second committee report. We have had engagements with the State House. As far as the expert opinion goes, while we're in dialogue with the government, and we hope to, you know, we expect to be in dialogue with them following the second committee report, you know, we wouldn't be aggressively pursuing an independent expert opinion. Obviously, we are, if you look at that first report, you do not need to be too expert to understand that those findings are not correct. But we would commission that report when and if we needed it.
Okay. Have you guys received a copy of a full copy of that first report now?
No, look, we have not seen a copy of the first report. We've asked for it, but we haven't received it.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Our next question today comes from Michael Stoner of Peel Hunt. Michael, please go ahead.
Hi, Brendan and Andrew. A really quick one from me. Were Vodacom under any pressure to price the deal to go? I mean, clearly, given the lack of demand, not. But has there been any chatter that it needs to be priced attractively to achieve that 30%?
No, they put a fixed price out on it, Michael, because I think they probably suspected it might just be in the market for a little while. So part of the process also in Tanzania is that there is a private valuation report that has to be approved as part of this process by the Capital Markets Authority, which then validates the pricing of the offer itself. So, you know, that's done independently, so there is some process to it, but I don't think they necessarily priced it just to go. I think they tried to get somewhere near fair value, but then stuck a fixed price on it to just avoid the impact of having it in the market for so long.
Okay, and you've already got a PLC DAR listing, right? So
we do, yeah.
The only difference would be breaking up the SMLs and the assets into separate listings, is that correct?
Yeah, the legislation or the regulation points to the fact that it's the mining license holders that have to be listed. You know, we did point out that might be interesting at the moment if you had Bulyanhulu and Buzwagi separately listed. So it would make more sense to try to do something through a group level, which is part of the debate that we've had with so far with the mining ministry.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
At this moment, we have no questions registered, so I'll hand back to you, gentlemen, to continue.
Thanks very much, Holly, and thanks, everyone, for dialing in today. As ever, we're available to take your call alternatively, but other than that, I hope you have a good Friday afternoon or Friday, rest of your Friday. So thanks very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude today's call. Thank you for joining, and enjoy the rest of your day.